Welcome to the Food Freedom Habit Podcast, where you can find freedom from food crazies using nothing but your own brain. With me, Lydia, the Lifestyle Coach. Would you like permanent food and body peace without tracking one trigger or calorie? Whether you're dealing with overeating, binge eating, bulimia, food obsession, body hate, or the endless diet cycle? We do all this without delving into past trauma, starting yet another food plan, or monitoring every meal. Live a free life aligned with your health and values. If you're ready for something real, you're in the right place. All episodes are 100% free, so please subscribe to and review our podcast.
Hi guys, this is Lydia, the Lifestyle Coach, and we are ending eating disorders using nothing but our brain. That's what we do over and over. We've done it hundreds of times with hundreds of people, and everyone, it's so amazing to see what overlap there is, but also how unique each of our stories are. And our stories are so powerful. And I just love hearing all of your feedback about how much you guys are enjoying the recovery stories, about how much they're resonating with your own journey. And we have another amazing woman on the show today to just share her real life story, because that's what this is all about. This is about real people and their real journeys, because this stuff with food just tends to take over and hijack so many other areas of life. And so when we fix this, it's really like fixing so much else. And there aren't too many things. I mean, a lot of things, you know, if you fix one area, you know, other stuff gets better, but maybe not quite to the extent of something so consistent as food, something so everyday, something that can just, you know, take over if it's distorted in our lives. So it's so beautiful to hear just the freedom that comes when we do find that peace and that joy and finally just that control over our own lives. So I'm so excited for you guys to meet Emma today. Emma, welcome. Welcome to the show. So happy you're here. So fun to see you. And so let's just launch in and tell us a little bit about your origin story. Like, how did food stuff start for you? Tell us a little bit of your journey and how it sort of progressed over the years.
Yeah. I guess it started 17 years ago when I did my first diet. I had gained a little, like, some weight in high school, and my boyfriend's mother at that time suggested I do Weight Watchers with her. And I was very, very successful at it. And I did a lot of swimming at the time. So I lost, I think, almost 30 pounds on an already, like, normal weight at that time. And afterwards, it was just like the classic binge diet cycle that started. And I think I was like 15 when I had my first binge. And over the years, it's funny, like, I'd be very successful at one diet and then binge, and then at the next diet, I would be a bit less successful and binge again, and my weight would cycle, and I would become less and less successful as time went on. And 17 years later, I thought, okay, I can't go on like this my whole life.
Yeah, absolutely. And what was that like for you, Emma, to just see things sort of getting worse and worse? Like, dieting was getting harder and harder, less success there, the binging still happens. Like, what was that roller coaster ride like for you just emotionally to see this happening?
I guess I didn't have the whole, I didn't see it for what it was at the time. It felt more like on a day-to-day basis, it's just really torture to have that, you know, it's like a little bully on your shoulder saying, you're horrible, you shouldn't eat this, you're disgusting if you eat this, et cetera, et cetera. And then, and so it was more on the daily, that it was, you know, very, it was torture. So, yeah. But yeah, I didn't see that it was, I knew I was like, that my weight was cycling, but I didn't know what that was when I was in it. Yeah.
So there's just sort of this unknown of like the daily torture, but you're not even sure why, right? Because like you don't know what the pattern is. And I know how frustrating and, like you said, torturous that is. So how did that daily torture impact you just in what you were wanting to do in life? And like, how did it affect you to be sort of living that?
Yeah. Now that I'm out of it, I can see it more clearly, because when I was in it, I'd say now that it was possibly 80% of my like mental energy going into thinking that, you know, either feeling horrible about myself or trying, you know, when you have that chatter telling you to restrict and that you're not a good person if you're not able to restrict, or feeling really down after a binge and feeling that, you know, I'm a bad person somehow. And the, so yeah, that's what it was like on a daily basis, like just that constant voice. And I think I didn't quite grasp how much it impacted me until now. Like I knew that it was, food was always on my mind, and I was sort of ashamed of that in a way, because I thought that there were greater problems in the world and that food shouldn't matter so much. And a bit like you say in your video, like I thought I was my own type of crazy, because I knew that I wasn't anorexic, I wouldn't make myself vomit, so I wasn't bulimic, but yet I had food on my mind all the time and feeling horrible about it all the time. And so I didn't think I had an eating disorder, but I knew something wasn't right. So yeah, it took meeting you and the whole program to get some clarity on that.
Yeah. And I totally hear you. Like, I remember being in that same position where I'm like, well, I don't have an eating disorder because I'm not doing that stuff, right? Yeah. There must be something really wrong with me because I don't have something. I just am something.
Yes.
Like, you said that morality, like, oh, I am bad. I am.
Yes.
Bad. Yeah.
Yes. Totally. Totally. And at the same time, I did feel that there wasn't anything wrong about me, really. Like, I was functioning well in all other areas in my life. And so when I did see some therapists to get over this, or I would always approach it from the anxiety angle, because I thought, even myself, I thought, oh, for sure it's anxiety, you know, it's reactive to whatever's going on. And so, I really didn't feel that something was deeply wrong with me, but at the same time, I thought I had my own, I was my own type of crazy. Anyway, I don't know if that makes sense, but it was confined to that area. And I thought, so weird. Like, why can I not get over this on my own with, like, you know, as other people say, the perfect diet. Like, why can't I find the thing that makes it okay, makes me lose weight and get to the weight that I want and stay there, and then I'll be happy and I won't binge again. And yeah, I was endlessly looking for that.
I'm so glad that you bring that up, because I know that's a really common feeling of, again, just sort of like the not knowing what's happening. Well, I don't have an eating disorder because I'm not doing this stuff. And I know I'm not crazy because look at how capable I am. Like, I'm doing fine in all these other areas. It's not like I'm somebody who, like, well, my whole life is a mess because my whole life isn't a mess. Like, you're doing fine here and fine here and fine here. And I find that sometimes it almost feels like there's something even more wrong with you, because there must be something seriously wrong if I'm fine in these other areas, but then there's this one thing that's just, like, totally out of control.
Yeah, I was really confused about it.
Yeah. So there's that confusion, like, what was happening, like, over those 17 years, Emma? Like, what did you have, just health stuff pop up? Was this impacting your relationships? Was this impacting just how you felt about yourself? Like, what areas of your life would you say were sort of affected most by the cycle, this daily torture?
Yeah. The biggest impact was on my mind space, really. Because I think, as I said, I was successful, you know, professionally and in my friendships, and I didn't have family issues, like, but now that I'm out of it, I see just how much I was, like, I didn't perceive that it was impacting me really, apart from emotionally and mentally, you know, bringing me down every day. But now that I'm out, I can appreciate how much it was impacting my social life. For example, like if you're binging 1 or 2 days a week, and then on those days, clearly you're not going to socialize with people because you're feeling bloated or disgusting. And then the next day you need to work out for like 3 hours. So you're not meeting friends on those days either. So that's like 4 days of the week. And then when people would invite me to places or, under circumstances where I thought I could binge, then I would try to avoid, you know, parties or things that could have been really nice, you know. And so avoiding these situations. And then so that's socially. And socially, I find also with other my female girl, like my girlfriends, where, you know, all the talk about diet, and I have some of my friends might weigh more than I do, and then they would see me restrict and then feel like I was judging them. And I feel like in that sense it did impact my friendships. Like I think in time I feel like I need to apologize for modeling this, or anyway. So I think it did impact my friendship that way because of the judgment, indirect judgment people might have felt from me. Same with my sister and my mother. And there were some family meals where I didn't, you know, my mom would cook or make some homemade dessert that I liked as a child, and I wouldn't have it. So that might have been hurtful also. So that's just like socially. And like in my work, I think now I appreciate how much my confidence was diminished by all the eatings, the food crazies. As in, if I went to work after a binge or the day after a binge, I probably wasn't completely present because I was feeling so down and guilty that I would not have been available for or completely present in my job. So that's another thing. But mostly I felt like it was all inside, and then my inside experience of internal experience of the outside world was just completely overwhelmed by the food crazies.
Like you said, like 80% of your brain during the day. Like that's just, it's so much mental space. And then a lot of times the very things that help us to feel better or good in life or are enjoyable, like being with friends, right, like being present with people, are actually taken from us because we're trying to manage all of this like food crazy stuff. So absolutely. And for you, like what did you try? What were you trying? What did you try to just try to fix this?
The thing is, because I didn't acknowledge it as an eating disorder, I didn't try to tackle it for what it was. I was like always trying to you know, the next diet and to see if I wouldn't say I tried that much in terms of, because when I would see a therapist for anxiety and try to bring it up, I was like really shy to talk about the food stuff. And I feel like when I did, it was sort of like not acknowledged as a problem, because they would look at me and think, it's a side effect of all the stress you have in your life. And so I feel that like neither of them, like say two therapists, didn't really care to tackle it.
Yeah.
So that's one bit. I did try like to do meditation and mindful eating. The thing is with the mindful eating, and I thought that would be the solution to everything. Like, oh, great. I'll listen to my body. This is not a diet and I'll lose weight. But I was still going into it with a restrict, action, like mindset. And so I'm sure mindful eating can be great for some people, but at that time when I tried it, it was still with the objective to lose weight. And so clearly it wasn't going to work. It was actually making eating so much more stressful because, you know, you need to chew for a long time and think about it, which is not what we do when we binge. And so
exactly.
The mindful eating for me was the worst. And so those things didn't work for me because I think I wasn't acknowledging it as for the problem that it was, and it was just looking at it like trying to get at it from indirectly, really.
Yeah. And I know that for a while you were thinking like, oh, well, it must have something to do with the anxiety. Like, did you have this idea of like, oh, well, I've just got to fix the anxiety and this will magically go away?
Yeah. And this is why I related to your message so much. I think at first, you know, after a binge, I looked up, how to stop binging on like the internet. And like, I just came across your videos and then quickly went into reading Brain Over Binge. And the thing that I related to the most was the fact that it was a problem on its own and that I wasn't crazy. And I really liked hearing that there's nothing wrong with me. And in part of the beginning of the book, there's a part about seeing therapists about it and doing a lot of like CBT and that sort of thing. And trying to look at the triggers and change the behavior. But same as Catherine, I could be anxious in binge. I could be happy in binge. I could be, at home alone and binge. I could be in public and binge. And so it didn't make sense to me that there was a set of triggers that would lead to binging that if I avoided or learned to deal with when they occurred, I could be binge free, because there's just such a wide set of circumstances under which binging could occur. And so I really, really, that really resonated with me. And I thought, right, this, this is it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. Like you said, like, it's a problem all on its own. Like, it's not about, fixing all this other stuff. So, I mean, for you, Emma, what inspired you, one, to just, reach out? And then on, another piece of that is, what inspired you to move forward and get help to be done with this? Like, why not just sort of like, try it on your own and just keep going with stuff and just, keep watching videos? Or like, what inspired you to really like get this done all the way?
Yeah, I think there's a set of circumstances, three things. A year ago, I did this sort of cleanse and I was really successful at it in the short term and lost a lot of weight and went back to a weight that I had when I was a teenager. And then the binging went, I went crazy binging after that because I restricted. I was so successful at the restriction. And so just the binging had been out of control in the last year. So that was one. Two, I was moving in with my partner and I knew I could hide it because I've successfully hidden it from like other people for 17 years, but I didn't want to live like that. And so I was moving, I knew I was moving in with him and it would be a problem. And three, because we're thinking of having children very soon, I thought if I have a daughter, I cannot teach her this. I don't, like, although I would be able to hide it, children pick up on everything and she would know. And I don't want her to internalize these ideas about food that weight is a marker of your value as a woman. Like, I really did not want that for my children. And so this set of circumstances led me to say, right, like, I need to get out of this. I'm gonna give it my 100%. And
that's beautiful. And that's really powerful stuff. Like, that's like life stuff, right? Like, that's like the sorts of things you want to pass on, the way that you want to live, like the transparency and the closeness that you want to have with the people that you care about. Like, this is all just such important stuff. So I want to congratulate you for like showing up, doing the work, making the decision. It really just comes down to a decision, right? Like, you didn't know if us working together was going to work, right? Like, you had to like,
I was so scared. You know, as you
about, like, what were your fears? What, like, going into this, like, what fear came up for you?
Well, I thought, one, I'm not worthy of it, or the program, or like, I'm not sick enough, or like, or it won't. So that, I'm not worth it. And two, it won't work for me. Like, what if it doesn't work for me? And then I'm doomed. Like, I'll have to spend my whole life in this cycle. And so I was really scared that it wouldn't work.
And what was it for you, like, in the presence of that fear? Because it just comes down to a choice, right? It's like, some people will fear that, will feel that fear, and they will decide to not get the help they need. And some people will feel it and do it anyway. So for you, like, in the presence of that fear, Emma, what sort of like gave you the strength, or what was it for you that made you still decide in the presence of the fear to still get sturdy?
I thought I had nothing to lose. Your messages resonated, you know, loud enough with me, and I had a deep sense of urge, but urge to get better. getting that first interview with your team, I felt such a sense of momentum. You know, when you feel like you're at this breaking point on the cusp of like something great, that's what it felt like. And it was scary. But that's a feeling I went with a few times in my life, where the hard choice was the right choice. And so I just thought, okay, I'll trust myself. And this type of feeling is what has worked for me in the past. And so it was the right decision.
Yes, let's talk about that. So, before we do, I just want to check in. Is there anything about, just like you said, that daily torture, like the way those 17 years were, is there anything else about your experience, Emma, that you wanted to share and have sort of be part of your story and your real experience? Or do you feel like that was encapsulated it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, that's the gist of it, really. There's a, it feels like a bully there, you know, when you have the angel and the devil on your shoulder in cartoons, like just the bully there, that mean voice all the time. I would not wish this to my worst enemy. And it's like, I was doing this to myself. Just horrible.
And I know how like awful that is, right? And like the day in and the day out, and it's happening internally, right? It's not like you can be like, hey, bully, go away. It's like, oh, the bully's in my mind. So for you, you made the decision to be done and to be free. And in the face of fear, you still made that choice. And I just, again, want to like congratulate you for that. And what would you say is the best part about being free? Like, what would you say on this side is some of the most wonderful, like the biggest relief? Like, what is really beautiful in life about freedom?
Oh, I mean, I don't even know where to start. I feel like I want to yell it out, you know, that I'm so free. But if you look at me, like if you look at me from an external standpoint, you don't see how free I am. It's just, there's no words to describe the feeling. And I've just been wanting to yell it out, like, oh, I'm so different. But it's a shame that it's all inside. Although I'm sure some people have noticed that I'm more relaxed, or, you know, in a better mood most of the time. But it's that feeling of freedom is priceless. It's just so nice to not have a bully, really. And it's so liberating. But I wouldn't say that there's one thing, is what comes with that, and how free I feel now to do whatever I please with my time and my,
beautiful. It's the freedom. Like one thing is, I mean, that you have your life back for you, right? Like you do what you want with your time, with your thoughts, like that's a beautiful thing. And just, I mean, having that mental energy back, like how has that changed things for you to literally have 80% of your brain back?
Yeah, it's amazing. I think it's allowed me to be more present in my relationships. And I just feel like I was more absent than I like to recognize at the time. And then because I don't limit myself in terms of going out and going to parties, going to birthdays, I'm able to enjoy, just normal conversation and normal social events that I was avoiding. But even on a day-to-day basis with my partner, there was many times where we would go out to eat and then I'd feel guilty. And then in terms of intimacy, I didn't want him to touch me if I perceived that I've ate just a little bit too much, you know. So even on a day-to-day basis with my partner, it changed a lot of things. And in terms of professionally, I feel like I have this confidence in other areas that was a surprising thing that happened, where I got the food crazies went away, although I still have a little bit of it. I'm not completely free, but it just gave me so much more confidence in other areas. I feel like I can trust myself more, or maybe it's a side effect of not feeling down after a binge or after eating so much. But I just feel like there's so much more confidence, more than expected.
Yeah.
And that must be something that people have noticed, because people have told me, but they're not commenting on my body or anything like that, or how I am with food. They just think I'm happy.
I love that. They just think I'm happy, right? Like, a huge journey in your mind, and you have all your mental energy, and you've conquered this thing that was 17 years of your life. And
it's
funny how that's read as like, oh, Emma's so happy. Oh,
she's in a great mood.
If you only knew.
Exactly. But that's been a surprising effect. The confidence, because I think I overcame something very big, and then I have confidence that I can deal with anything that's thrown my way.
I love that. Mm-hmm. And even if we just look at sort of like the simpleness of food, like how is just your relationship with food different? How do you act around food differently? Like, what surprises you of like, oh, I can do that now? Or like, that's how I am now around food?
Yeah. One thing I was doing is counting, for all these years, I was counting all the calories and keeping track of everything. And even when I wasn't writing it down, I had an inventory in my mind. And at the end of the day, I think I knew, that if I had gained weight or lost weight that day, like somehow I would have known that. And that's something that I do not do anymore, but it would, to me, that's shocking. And that sort of happened. I would when I noticed it happening during the program, I would call it out, but I can't believe how quick it was, how quickly I stopped doing that. And yeah, so that's one thing, not keeping track of everything, not waking up every morning in fear, thinking, am I going to be able to make it through the day? Now, I don't wake up feeling that way ever. And also going to bed thinking, you know, that that last day resolution of tomorrow morning, that's it, I'm restricting, I'm going to be successful at it. I never go to bed with that feeling. And so to me, that's huge. And food, yeah, I still, at first when I started allowing and being freer, I would, I ate a lot of food that was off limits, like sweets and chocolate, that sort of thing. And now that I know that I can have it any time and that I've had enough, I don't know, I might have some, I might not have some, and I make choices that I think are more balanced and really what my body needs. I can't pretend that everything's perfect. It's still hard sometimes, but yeah, it's 100 times better than it was. Yeah.
Isn't your hard so much different than your hard used to be?
Yeah, no. Now hard is like, oh, should I have this? Maybe I ate too much. I shouldn't have it, but why shouldn't I have it? I should be allowing. Am I restricting? I'm not sure. Okay, well, I'll make a decision and get over it. So,
And how did your hard used to be?
Well, you know how... Yeah, the heart used to be binges of thousands and thousands of calories, feeling like my abdomen was going to explode, feeling sick for 2 days, needing to work out for hours and hours. That was hard. And the isolation that comes with that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, now hard is not so hard compared to what it was. Yeah.
That's so, so cool, Emma. I love it. Like, just your story, your journey, your heart. Like, I'm happy for you. Like, and I can tell you're so happy, right? But it's like, it's so fun to sort of know, like, you know, behind the curtain of like, oh yeah, like you have come through so much. Like 17 years is a lot of life, and you have so many good years of life ahead of you. And what a difference it makes to be able to live it in a free way. Like, that's so awesome. Anything else, just that freedom is something that you're enjoying in life, or any other piece of freedom that you just feel like, yeah, like that's something that has been a big deal?
I think the now it's more about body neutrality. And I still have some work to do around that. But I find that I'm just, even with other women, I don't judge other bodies. I notice women for their beauty in every way. I'm not just, you know, I used to be walking down the street and only noticing the women that were thinner than me and looking at them with envy, thinking, oh, when am I going to be like that? And now I just notice all these beautiful women around me for what they are, and I'm much more have much more compassion for myself and for others, and I really like that. That feeling, the peace I have with myself, has brought.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to make this alarm stop going off.
That's okay. The peace I've earned, you know, with just my relationship with myself, has also impacted the way I am with other women, because I was struggling with that when I was trying to restrict, and my mother, sister, best friend, like, thought I was judging them. I felt like I wasn't, but at the same time, I did feel that I didn't wanna, I you know, I didn't want to be bigger. So yeah, I didn't want to be like them, but, and I felt shame for feeling that. And although I wasn't judging them, it was my own struggle. I didn't feel good at all. And now it's brought peace for me in those relationships, because no, like I could be like them, it would be fine. There's no, and I love them. And so that's been nice.
Yeah. And that's something real. Like really how we feel about others, how we feel about ourselves, how we feel about others because of how we feel about ourselves. Like that's literally the way we interact with the world. And being able to have those real relationships outside of this stuff that we don't feel good about is, it's a huge deal. I love that. I remember when I was, you know, on my own journey trying to figure this out. And I just, you know, if you would have asked me, I would have been like, oh, well, you know, like I think all bodies are beautiful. And like intellectually I did. Like, I'm like, everyone's beautiful. I just really want to be thin. It's just amazing. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But then I remember hearing, I don't remember, some audiobook I was listening to, maybe it was Brené Brown, but the author was saying, we are hardest on others in the ways that we're hardest on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was actually in the gym at the time, of course, because I spent so much time at the gym. And I just remember just being so deflated, like just being honest with myself about, yeah, I am so hard on myself. And I think about my body. I think about other people's bodies. I judge all day, and it didn't feel good. It felt so out of integrity with who I was.
Exactly. Because I didn't want to be that person. I was judging myself so hard, and you cannot pretend that, you know, if you have these standards for yourself, that you do not somehow have them for others. And that did not feel right to me. And as you say, like intellectually, you know, I might have said, oh yeah, no, yeah, all bodies are beautiful, etc. But I didn't truly believe it. You know, I would have been saying that, but, so that did not feel good at all.
Yeah. So literally aligning with the integrity of who you want to be.
Yeah, exactly.
And having that be who you are. That's huge, Emma. That's really cool. Love it. Anything else just on your mind, on your heart for today?
No, I think we covered. Yeah. I mean, we can talk about it for a long time, but
I know there's so much awesome stuff to say.
I'd say there's one thing that you said that helped me a lot. Well, a few things. For me, the restriction chatter is binge chatter. That's helped me a lot, because I would be binging once a week or twice a week. And so most of the time I wouldn't be binging. And I didn't recognize that all the thoughts that were occurring at those times as the problem. I thought the binging was the problem, but the restriction is as much the problem. So that's one thing. Being in the allowing place has helped me tremendously. Whenever I struggle to make a decision now, I just go to the allowing place and think, you know, I can have this anytime, however much I want, whenever I want. And then that sort of helps settle me and I feel more free then to choose to have it or not. And the third thing that's helped me the most, I would say, is the, cause I think I gained a little weight, although I don't know because I haven't weighed myself in months, but I'm pretty sure I gained a little bit since I started the program. And whenever I feel down about my body, I know that I shouldn't want to feel like I need to change my body. I need to change my mindset. And so when I get, you know, when I get a glimpse of me in the mirror and I don't like what I see, and I feel down about it an hour later and realize that that's why I feel down, because I saw myself in the mirror and I didn't like what I saw. I think, right, like not what's the best diet, but how can I feel better? And so sometimes it's just that I need a little sleep, or I need to move. And or I need to see a friend, or, you know, do something that will make me feel better. And, or even change my mindset in terms of looking at, you know, women with different bodies, or reading some body, you know, health at every size or body acceptance literature, and like going back to that. And so having that as a habit, changing my mind instead of trying to aim to change my body, has also helped me a lot.
That's beautiful. And thank you so much for sharing that. And the thing is like, we're all on our own journey. So you got all the pieces that you needed to be free, right? Mm. So, and that's been such a fun thing about working with you, about working with everyone. It's like, oh, okay. Like, what pieces are missing for you so that you can be free? And let's just put those in place and then you're free. Like, how, just timeline wise, would you say, Emma, how long before you felt like, oh, something's changing, something's different? Like, how long until you felt there was some sort of freedom happening in your life when we started working together?
I think it happened before I signed up, because I was watching all your videos, and so already then, I as soon as I started calling out the chatter, like the first time I called out the chatter and had a smaller binge, that's when I realized that something was changing and that this was a really powerful tool.
So cool. So you got like those glimpses of freedom. You saw that improvement. And then once, you know, we started working, you and I, like, when was it where you started seeing like some big changes, like in your behavior, like in like things happening? Like, when did you really start feeling that point of momentum?
I think because we get all the tools very at the very start, very beginning. And the first week, because I didn't binge since I started the program. Not that that's the ultimate goal. Like, you know, it is possible that I'll binge in the future. And if that happens, I'll deal with it when it happens. But there was something that clicked in me when I listened to Brain Over Binge and watched all your a lot of your videos. And so I think from the very beginning, I felt like something had changed. And I think I polled you about this early on, where I felt such elation and momentum. I was scared, like running, when you're running down the hill and you feel like you're gonna fall, and because you're taking too much speed. That's what it felt like. And I felt like I really needed the support of the community and the program to keep that momentum going and know what to do if I messed up. Although you can't mess up. I know you can't mess up if you fall out the chatter, but if you know, if I came across a hurdle, let's say.
Yeah.
And so it felt so good so quickly, and I really wanted the support of your community to be able to keep that going.
Yeah, beautiful. And just again, congratulations. Like, you showed up and you did the work. You know, it's not like I can't help you. Like, I know exactly how to help you. I know exactly how to be free. Like, we can do that. But I have my part and you have your part. And Emma, you showed up and you did the work, and you overcame your fear, and you got outside your comfort zone, and you did the things to be free. And now you can enjoy that freedom. And it's a beautiful thing. And I just want to say how happy for you I am, how proud of you I am. And thank you for sharing your story. Like, your story is your power, your journey. Like, that's so important, not just for you, but for others as well. And I appreciate you being willing to share so that we can bring that message out into the world. So anything else on your mind before we wrap up, or do you feel like this is complete?
No, I think it's complete, but I just want to thank you Yeah, it's the last few months have really changed my life. I can't even begin to express how thankful I am.
Thank you. I love that, Emma. And just again, so happy for you. And this is what it's about, you guys. Like, it's about just getting free, that anybody who wants to be done, it doesn't matter how long it's been, it doesn't matter how broken you feel, it doesn't matter how many things you've tried, it's just about doing the thing that works. And so you do that, right? And so I just want everyone who wants that to have that freedom, because there's so much else to do in life. Like, living a life where everything revolves around food is not fun, is not a great way to look back and think, like, I guess that's what my life was about. Like, this is about reclaiming your life so you do what you want. So thank you so much for being another witness to that and sharing your story. And if you guys would like, Emma, how she got started was she just started with a free session. So she went, she looked at some of the videos, and then she decided to claim her free session. And if you guys want to do that, you can go to lydialifestyle.com, and that will be the hub for a free session for the videos that she was talking about. And there's so much help and support for you here. And if you want to be free, I want you to know that you can be. So this is Lydia, the lifestyle coach, and Emma signing off. Mwah. Bye, guys.
Thanks for tuning in. If you felt a spark here and want to see how these principles can work in your own life, here is your next step. Pop over to lydialifestyle.com/session. That's lydialifestyle.com/session, where you can book a free session with our team. We'll give you a call and together find clarity on three things. One, the exact cycle you keep getting sucked into. Two, what isn't working with your approach. And three, what's missing to close the gap between food prison and food freedom. We have helped free hundreds of women all over the world from their food struggles. These are proven principles that work, no matter how long you've been stuck. This is Lydia, the Lifestyle Coach, signing off. Mwah!